Funding for Capital Report is provided by the following. The Able Trust, believing growth of Florida's economy depends on a diverse and inclusive workforce. The Able Trust works with the business community to include talented Floridians with disabilities as vital team members. More information is at abletrust.org. And from Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com. WFSU-FM, Tallahassee. From the state capitol, Florida Public Radio brings you Capitol Report.
Democrats take a hard left turn with the surprise primary win of Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum.
Are y'all ready to flip Florida blue?
Ron DeSantis rides the Trump bump to secure the Republican gubernatorial nomination.
Please welcome your Republican nominee for governor of Florida and the next First Lady of the Sunshine State, Ron and Casey DeSantis.
And the race for governor is off to a nasty start. The establishment of both parties take big losses and upsets, with Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam's winning streak coming to an end. All that and more coming up tonight on Capitol Report. Welcome to Capitol Report. I'm Lynn Hatter in for Tom Flanagan. A surprise outcome in Florida's Democratic gubernatorial primary has Democrats hopeful to reclaim the governor's mansion and wrest control from Republicans for the first time in 20 years. It also marks a strong shift to the left and hopes rest with a man who could become Florida's first black governor. Ryan Daly prepared this report.
Already, the general election for Florida's next governor looks like it might get nasty.
The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda.
That's Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum's competition, Republican Congressman Ron DeSantis. After winning his party's nomination, DeSantis took to Fox News Wednesday morning to slam Gillum. DeSantis' comments drew ire from the Democratic Party, which called them racist. Fox News says it does not condone DeSantis' language. Just hours earlier, the Gillum campaign was on cloud nine after shocking Florida politicos.
We had over 500,000 people come out yesterday and support the underdog candidate at a very, very grassroots level. I think my four opponents combined may have spent close to $90 million to our six.
It was cheers, tears, and hugs as Gillum celebrated his victory in the Democratic gubernatorial primary in a downtown hotel.
Are y'all ready to flip Florida blue? All right.
Gillum has focused his campaign on education, environmental protection, and a livable minimum wage. In the waning weeks, he campaigned with former presidential candidate Bernie Sanders and attended a protest at the Capitol over gun control and a push to repeal the state's Stand Your Ground law. And Tuesday night, he delivered his victory speech.
I want you to know, as I have said, as I moved all across the state of Florida, that this thing is not about me. It never has been, and it never will be. This race is about every last single one of us, right?
In 2003, Gillum became the youngest person elected to the Tallahassee City Commission. He was elected mayor in 2014 and is consistently rated as a person to watch in Democratic politics. His name was briefly floated as a potential running mate for Hillary Clinton. And he addressed the Democratic National Convention in 2016. But even with all that, he never climbed higher than third in most polls.
Well, Andrew Gillum's win, to me, is very surprising.
Gillum's win has shocked even longtime election observers. Tampa Bay Times political correspondent William March says Democrats have a long history of nominating moderates, but Gillum's victory breaks with that tradition.
They're nominating someone on the left side of the field of primary candidates, Andrew Gillum. It shows the extent to which both parties are being pushed toward the extremes.
As it stands now, the Florida Democratic Party is coalescing behind Gillum. The rest of the Democratic gubernatorial candidates are all backing him, with Gwen Graham telling Gillum to bring it home.
Now, Andrew, go out and win this damn thing.
For Florida Public Radio, I'm Ryan Daly.
Congressman Ron DeSantis has won the Republican nomination for Florida governor. WMFE's Brendan Byrne reports an endorsement from President Donald Trump propelled DeSantis over the finish line.
Just minutes after the polls closed across Florida, it was clear Congressman Ron DeSantis would become the GOP's gubernatorial nominee.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your Republican nominee for governor of Florida and the next First Lady of the Sunshine State, Ron and Casey DeSantis.
But DeSantis wasn't always the front runner. Earlier this year, Florida's Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam was thought to have the nomination locked in. At only 44 years old, Putnam had served in political office for half of his life. He was a Florida and U.S. representative, and he was the chair of the House Republican Policy Committee before being elected to the agriculture post. He came from a politically connected family, had endorsements from Florida's top officials like Attorney General Pam Bondi and many of the state sheriffs. He had a double-digit lead in early polls. Then came President Trump.
I'd like to introduce a true leader, a proud veteran, my great friend, a tough, brilliant cookie. True. He's tough, he's smart, and he loves Florida, and he loves our country. And he's going to be your next governor, Ron DeSantis.
With the president's formal endorsement, the so-called Trump factor, Putnam's lead over DeSantis narrowed. DeSantis went all in, connecting himself with the president in campaign ads.
Everyone knows my husband, Ron DeSantis, is endorsed by President Trump, but he's also an amazing dad. Ron loves playing with the kids.
Build the wall.
He reads stories.
Then Mr. Trump said, "You're fired." I love that part.
He's teaching.
The DeSantis campaign was short on policy. Instead, it latched on to Trump campaign talking points on issues like immigration. Putnam tried firing back. He touted his Florida First campaign and blasted DeSantis for not knowing the needs of Floridians.
Having the Trump card is the only card you have, and it's a big one, but it still means you're not playing with a full deck.
Putnam outraised DeSantis and also spent more on the ground game. The Tampa Bay Times reported the DeSantis campaign spent little on door-to-door outreach and yard signs. DeSantis spent only $14 million in the primary, where Putnam spent over $34 million. In the end, DeSantis' connection to Trump worked.
It shows the power of Donald Trump right now, as of now.
That's University of Central Florida political scientist Aubrey Jewett.
He is the most powerful figure in the Republican Party. He's the most visible figure. He's polarizing for sure, but there's no doubt that he has the most impact within the Republican Party.
Jewett points out traditionally, as candidates head to a general election, they tend to move towards the political center to attract independent and no-party affiliate voters. But
it's certainly possible he could double down and just be more Trumpy.
Trump did win Florida in the 2016 election, and a majority of his endorsed nominees have won their elections. Speaking to supporters, DeSantis vowed to keep following in the footsteps of the president.
And I pledge to you, as governor, I will work my butt off to accomplish great things for this state. I will show the courage to lead. And we'll keep Florida great, and we'll make it even greater. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Whether or not the Trump connection will help or hinder the Republican nominee in 2018 remains to be seen when DeSantis takes on Democratic nominee Andrew Gillum in the general election. I'm Brendan Byrne in Orlando.
Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam watched his rising star status fade Tuesday.
You've stood beside me in the highs, you've stood beside me in the lows, and you've stood beside me in the winding path between the two.
And the races for Agriculture Commissioner and State Attorney are heating up.
We've got to win a general election still and get on the road with the rest of the primary nominees and get to work.
And Ashley Moody, Sean Shaw, Matt Caldwell, and Nikki Fried claim victory in cabinet races.
Many of you have heard me say this before. I have very high heels to fill.
And in this election, we're going to offer a clear choice, and I won't back down.
You're listening to Capitol Report. I'm Len Hatter. Republican gubernatorial candidate Ron DeSantis is already facing national backlash following remarks he made about his opponent, Andrew Gillum. Sean Mulcahy examines the racial implications of DeSantis's comment that has sparked outcry from figures across the political spectrum.
Congressman Ron DeSantis made headlines Wednesday after he used the phrase "monkey this up" when referring to Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum. DeSantis made the comments in an interview with Fox News.
Let's build off the success we've had on Governor Scott. The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda with huge tax increases and bankrupting the state.
Now, leaders from across the state, across the country, and across the political spectrum are calling on DeSantis to apologize.
The term monkey, from our Afrocentric psychological theological perspective, is highly offensive and has historically been used in a very derogatory context.
That's Reverend R.B. Holmes, president of the Tallahassee chapter of the National Action Network.
I pray to God that he will understand that many of the people he asked to vote for him are offended. He did not call Mayor Gillum a monkey. He said his policies can monkey this up. What does he mean by his policies can monkey this up? Why the word monkey?
Fox News later in the segment said it does not condone that language and called the remarks, quote, inappropriate. Less reported, however, is the first part of DeSantis' comment in which he classifies Gillum as, quote, an articulate spokesperson. The term articulate, often applied to prominent African Americans, is seen as a dog whistle of its own. Washington correspondent for PBS NewsHour Yamiche Alcindor explained in an interview on MSNBC's Morning Joe.
So the fact that you would call him articulate and say that he was performing well is, of course, in its of itself racially charged, because you're saying that a black man with a degree is can speak well, which, of course, has historically been something that African-Americans have been called. When you really want to say black people shouldn't be speaking this well, I'm surprised that you're speaking that well.
The DeSantis campaign said in a statement the remarks were, quote, obviously about Florida not making the wrong decision to embrace the socialist policies that Andrew Gillum espouses, and to characterize it any other way is absurd. Governor Rick Scott said that while DeSantis was inartful, he doesn't believe he had any ill will. Gillum, however, says Floridians will not be divided.
But I do believe that the voters of the state of Florida are going to reject the politics of division. It's clear that the congressman is going to join Donald Trump in the swamp. We're going to leave them there, and we're going to continue to press toward a higher mark.
For Florida Public Radio, I'm Sean Mulcahy.
Putnam was seen as a rising star in Republican circles. The former congressman and state agriculture commissioner had never lost a race until Tuesday. But as WUSF Steve Newborn reports, Putnam's path to the governor's mansion ran into a train conducted by Donald Trump.
Wow.
Adam Putnam strolled confidently to the stage of an historic Lakeland hotel less than 15 minutes after the polls closed Tuesday night. There, the man who had seemingly been on a fast track for governor announced something he's never had to say before.
You've stood beside me in the highs, you've stood beside me in the lows, and you've stood beside me in the winding path between the two. And for that, I'm forever in your debt.
Until then, there had been few lows for the 44-year-old Putnam. His concession speech was a first. The Bartow citrus and cattle farmer had never lost a race in 22 years.
This outcome ends something of an era in Florida Republican Party politics.
Veteran political journalist William March says many people who are familiar with Putnam knew he was aiming directly at Tallahassee.
Adam Putnam has been on a trajectory for the governor's mansion for well over a decade. And frankly, most of the Republicans in Florida expected that that was where Putnam would end up going as soon as his turn came up. Well, his turn came up this year, and suddenly his plans get completely upended by the involvement of Trump in this race.
The momentum had started to drift away from Putnam by the time the president said this at a rally at the Florida State Fairgrounds in July.
He's tough, he's smart, and he loves Florida, and he loves our country. And he's going to be your next governor, Ron DeSantis.
There have been a few bumps in the road for Putnam. His declaration that he was a proud NRA sellout came under attack after the Parkland school shootings. An investigation showing that many applications for concealed weapons permits were never vetted took off some of his gloss. But March says it was the Trump endorsement that carried the most weight with Republican voters.
It shows how completely Trump has taken over and dominated not only the National Republican Party, but the Florida Republican Party, and remade it in his image. It's now the Trump Party of Florida.
Back at a somewhat subdued election watch party at an historic hotel in Lakeland Tuesday night, Jim and Gina Mammel of Lakeland said that didn't sway all the voters.
I think people who know Adam and know his credentials are going to say, you know, that was disappointing. But at the same time, I think there's been enough controversy with this president. You don't necessarily want to have his endorsement.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the most important thing right now.
Gina Mammel is a longtime friend of Putnam's wife, Melissa. She wore a T-shirt reading, "Day One Adam Putnam Supporter." The couple says the book isn't closed on Putnam's political career.
Absolutely.
He has a servant's heart, and he is a born leader. So,
and if not governor, a good senator in the future.
Political scientist Susan McManus agreed, saying we probably haven't seen the last of Putnam.
It is getting more and more difficult to run for office with the amount of money it takes and the negativism that sticks to your family, and he's a family man. And that's what's making it hard to get people to run for office. But he has a long history of public service, maybe not an elective service, but I think that he'll still be a public servant.
Putnam said during his concession speech that whenever one door closes, another door opens. And at the young political age of 44, he has a lot of time to veer onto the comeback trail. I'm Steve Newborn in Tampa.
A little-known polling firm based in California accurately called Florida's Democratic gubernatorial primary for Andrew Gillum, and it's the firm the Gillum campaign relied on for its internal tracking. During a swing through the state with Senator Bernie Sanders, the Gillum campaign talked about the surge.
You all, we've got an opportunity on August 28th because the other folks in this race believe that they've got this race walking away, but we've got another thing coming for them. We're going to show up. The progressive movement in this state is going to show up like we have never shown up before, and we're going to flip this state blue.
Throughout the primary election cycle, the polls showed Gillum trailing the presumed frontrunners, North Florida Congresswoman Gwen Graham and former Miami Beach Mayor Philip Levine. Closer to the primary, a few noted he was near second place. Gillum ended up winning, and this marks yet another election cycle where the polls were wrong. Many of the polls the public has historically relied on are based on randomized phone calls, but landlines are becoming obsolete, cell phone numbers unlisted, and some folks don't answer calls from those numbers they don't know, making it harder for pollsters to find people that way. Florida State University political scientist Lance DeHaven Smith noted the problem 2 years ago when most polls pointed to a win for Hillary Clinton over President Donald Trump.
What we're finding is that the internet is actually turning out to be more accurate than the cell phone surveys because people are, they have what's called a response bias. When they're talking to another individual, they may be reluctant to say they're supporting Trump.
Well, what I would say is if you rely on 2016 polling techniques to try to predict races, you're going to lose.
On August 20th, the Gillum campaign released an internal poll predicting his eventual win. It was that poll that got it right. Pat Riley is a co-founder of the California-based Change Research Group, which works with, quote, forward-thinking candidates like Gillum. The group uses internet and social media-based methods and targets underrepresented groups.
When you look at people's media consumption habits, the vast majority of people, particularly younger people, rely on their handheld phone to engage, and therefore we're able to get in front of a lot of younger people. What's also true is that we are able to get a representative sample in frequently undercounted communities. For example, African-American communities, majority minority or immigrant communities.
Now, just days after Florida's primary, the first poll of the Gillum-Ron DeSantis gubernatorial race is out. It shows Gillum with a 5-point lead. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Lynn Hatter in Tallahassee. Tuesday's election marked a stunning upset for former Congresswoman Gwen Graham. All throughout the primary cycle, Graham had been the presumptive frontrunner. WMFE's Amy Green reports on what Graham had to say after Gillum was declared the winner, and she had a special message for the gubernatorial nominee.
Graham addressed a crowd of upbeat supporters gathered at the downtown Orlando nightclub, The Social. Graham said these were not remarks she had prepared, but she said she already had called Gillum to congratulate him.
I said, now, Andrew, go out and win this damn thing. Because this is too important for the state of Florida.
The former congresswoman was flanked by her family, including her father, former Florida governor and U.S. Senator Bob Graham. Gillum will face Ron DeSantis in the general election. Amy Green in Orlando.
Democrat Nikki Fried is squaring off against Republican Matt Caldwell in the race for Florida's agriculture commissioner. Regan McCarthy has more.
Nikki Fried says she was inspired, at least in part, to run for Florida agriculture commissioner after U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions rescinded an Obama administration policy taking a hands-off approach in regard to states that legalize the use of marijuana. She says Florida needs leaders who will stand up for its residents.
We have to have a new vision. We have to have a restart button. For 20 years, we have had the same type of people running this administration. And I have a vision to make sure that not only those who are needing medical marijuana and suffering, but we are expanding it, taking people off of the opiates, off the pharmaceutical drugs, giving them a better way of life.
Fried's platform spans from an effort to expand medical marijuana to a push for better gun control. Issues Fried said during her primary night victory speech, Republican leaders have largely ignored for the past two decades.
I have a vision to make sure that our water policies are safe for generations to come, because that has not been a priority for the last 20 years. I envision a state where the consumer advocate is out there advocating for the citizens of the state of Florida. A vision where the actual commissioner of agriculture is doing background checks and making sure our citizens are safe.
Yes.
And that we are doing universal background checks for everybody who's buying a weapon.
Meanwhile, Matt Caldwell, Fried's Republican opponent, says issues such as water quality have long been a concern for him.
Water has been my passion since day one. It's the reason I ran for the House 8 years ago. I'm proud of the work we've done on the Everglades, on restoring our estuary, and we're going to have to continue to commit to that. If we build the projects, it will fix this problem. And you've seen me commit to that over the last 8 years, and I will not let up on that as we go forward.
While Republicans have held a strong majority in Florida's leadership for the past several years, Caldwell says he's not taking anything for granted.
We've got to win a general election still and get on the road with the rest of the primary nominees and get to work.
Fried took more than 58% of the vote in the Democratic primary. Caldwell took 34% of the vote in the Republican primary. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Regan McCarthy.
And finally tonight, after winning their primaries, two Tampa natives will now face off in November in the race for Florida's top cop. Sasha Corner reports Florida could either get its second female attorney general or its first black male attorney general.
Can you believe I'm standing up here as the next nominee to be attorney general with the Republican Party?
That's Ashley Moody, a former Hillsborough County judge and prosecutor who is now the Republican nominee for Florida Attorney General. She won 56% of the vote in the primary against her GOP opponent, State Representative Frank White. During her victory speech in Tampa Tuesday, Moody said she's looking forward to succeeding Florida's current Attorney General Pam Bondi should she win in November.
I have very high heels to fill. We have had a great Attorney General in Pam Bondi over the last 8 years. She has worked to strengthen our justice system, improve our laws to fight crime, help victims. I will work every day to deserve the great honor that she has given me with her endorsement. And I will tell you, I am confident. I'm sure she's not done fighting for Floridians.
Several of Moody's priorities also align with Bondi's.
Whether it's the opioid epidemic, trafficking, violence, increasing attacks on the men and women in law enforcement.
Meanwhile, State Representative Sean Shaw of Tampa is vying for the Florida Attorney General position as the Democratic nominee. For a while, he was locked in a contentious legal battle with his primary opponent, Ryan Torrens. Shaw had tried to knock Torrens off the ballot over an alleged campaign finance violation. A Leon Circuit judge agreed, but Torrens appealed. The challenge is likely moot after Shaw took more than 73% of the vote. Now Shaw says he's focused on facing off against Moody in November.
In this election, we're going to offer a clear choice, and I won't back down. We've got to do more to protect the people of this state from gun violence, and we can't let the gun lobby stand in the way. We've got to do more to protect our environment from polluters. We've got to do more to protect our seniors from scams and fraud. As Florida's insurance consumer advocate and as a state representative, I use the law to fight for Floridians. That's exactly what I'll do as Attorney General.
As part of his platform, Shaw says he wants to create a gun violence task force. Shaw's ads also double down on other ways to address gun violence, especially after the mass shootings in Florida.
Meet Democrat Sean Shaw for Attorney General. Shaw took on the NRA when others wouldn't and fought for tougher gun safety laws, ban assault weapons, strengthen background checks.
If elected, Shaw could become the state's first black attorney general. His late father, Leander Shaw, also made history after becoming the Florida Supreme Court's first black Supreme Court justice in the 1980s. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Sasha Kortner.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Sasha Kordner, Ryan Daly, and Regan McCarthy. We also thank our contributing Florida Public Radio stations. Technical assistance for Capitol Report is provided by Ken Smith, and I'm Lynn Hatter. Tom Flanagan will be back next week. Join us each Friday for more reports from the state capitol.
Audio copies of Capitol Report are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. You can also hear Capitol Report online, including archives of past shows, at WFSU.org. Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following: The Able Trust, dedicated to connecting businesses and workers with disabilities. Businesses are encouraged to recruit, interview, and hire talented and loyal Floridians with disabilities as they seek to broaden their customer base and reach all of Florida's diverse population. AbleTrust.org. And from Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com. WFSU-FM, Tallahassee. This is Florida Public Radio.